You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Podcast. Today we're going to be looking at some players who are overvalued, some players who are potentially undervalued. We're also going to be doing a quick check-in, answering your questions on the Dallas Mavericks, the Denver Nuggets, and the Detroit Pistons. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
I probably should have said who I was. I am Josh Lloyd, of course, the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_beeble. Let's talk fantasy basketball. All right, let's look, guys, at some players who are perhaps overperforming or underperforming their rest of season value over the last couple of weeks, and therefore you can perhaps translate that into some buy low or sell high opportunities. We will start with the guys who are underperforming. Timmy Hardaway Jr. over the last 2 weeks is the 197th ranked player. The minutes are there, 32.5 minutes, 15 points per game is solid, 90% from the free throw line on four attempts. These are all good positives, but in this time, he's shooting 34% from the field, including 25% from three, and averaging just 1.4 assists per game. There are some pretty clear indicators there that those numbers will be able to go up. Now, he's not a great shooter. He's a streaky shooter, but he's not a 34% shooter. We saw this last season when he started off the season as ice cold as possible. He'll be able to bounce that back up, and therefore his points will jump up, his three-pointers will jump up, his field goal percentage will jump up, and then I think his assists will be able to come back up as well. So if anyone drops Hardaway, I'm adding him if I can deal with field goal percentage, because even when it improves, he's still a punt guy. But I would add him in majority of formats and throw your worst player at him, because look, that's poor, not being in, or barely being in the top 200, but there is a clear path for him to get better from there. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, is also underperforming. He has had a back issue, no doubt about that, but over the last six games, he's 175th, and he's played 35 minutes a game during that time. So that just shows you that there are some massive deficiencies in what he's doing. 18.5 points is nice, 1.73s is nice, but not one single block. He's had just two steals. He shot 37% on 17 attempts and 79% from the line, which is okay. It's not a bad number. It's just that the lack of defensive numbers, the poor field goal percentage. Now, I've been talking about Kuzma as a sell high guy for quite a while. Ingram is back now, and LeBron is still out. Kuzma's numbers have dropped right off. So it could be a case of buy low, but don't look at Kuzma as that top 60 player that he was when Ingram was out the first time. Look at him as a guy who's around the 80 to 110 type of zone. That's probably the right area for Kuzma. So calibrating that value from where he was overvalued before to now where he's undervalued, he's going to be smart in terms of trying to get that right value from a trade. Ben Simmons is the 173rd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, and as usual with him, it's because of the free throw percentage. It's been atrocious, 52%, but the real kicker there is 9 attempts per game. That is literally unrecoverable from. If you've got him in your team, you are punting free throws, and you do not have a way out of that. That is that bad on that large of a volume. The other thing that's also caused him to drop, now he's always been a poor free throw shooter. He can hopefully get to be a guy in the 60s and not take 9 attempts per game, but he's not blocking any shots, he's not getting any steals, he's still averaging 18, 9.5, and 8, and they're pretty strong numbers. But the rest of his numbers, only 0.8 steals, only 0.5 blocks. He's the guy that we hope can get 1.7 steals and get 1.1 blocks per game and add that to high field goal percentage and 18 or 19 points and, you know, close to triple-double type numbers. And he's doing those things. It's just those other numbers have dropped off. You might be able to convince whoever has him that it's a Jimmy Butler factor, that he's never going to improve in his shooting, and maybe that's true. But he'll be better than this because the defensive numbers will start to come back, and I think the free throws will jump up from 52%, and he also won't take 9 per game, which has pushed him that far outside the top 170. Spencer Dinwiddie also outside the top 170, just 27 minutes a game, under 15 points, 2 threes, 5 assists on poor shooting. Now, a lot of his early season value was based on very, very high efficiency, and this is a guy who struggled significantly in terms of shooting throughout any portion of his career. And we look, what has he changed? Has he improved it? Is he a good shooter now? Well, maybe he isn't, but I do think he's better than this. But the concern I have with Dinwiddie is D'Angelo Russell going to play 33 a night, and Dinwiddie's going to be in that legitimate backup point guard role? That's the concern you have to have. The five assists are still nice. There's no steals. There's no blocks. The free throws are nice. But that field goal percentage is more in line with what he was doing last season versus what he was doing at the start of the season. So there is an element of concern. But when people see a guy get 25 minutes a night or 26 minutes a night for four or five consecutive games, they panic. And they'll also panic when they see poor shooting. So this might be an opportunity to grab Dinwiddie at a cheaper price, because I do think that he will improve from where he currently is. CJ McCollum, I also think, will improve from here. The 159th ranked player. It just always goes to show with so many of these guys that points are one category and they're not the be-all and end-all, because CJ's averaging 19 points per game over the last 8 games, and that's really good. He's just not doing anything else. 1.93s, that's okay, but it's still not good in this high 3-point era. 3 rebounds, under 3 assists, half a steal, half a block, 41% on 18 attempts. CJ is never going to be that top 30, top 40 guy again, I don't believe, but I'm sure he's going to be better than this, because he is going to be able to get back to 20 points per game. He should be able to get back to maybe 0.8 steals, never going to be a high steals guy. And that field goal percentage, which really fueled so much of his value over the past couple of seasons, it should at least be able to bounce back better than 41%. So there is a bit of a bounce back there, but don't overvalue CJ. Don't look at him as a top 40 guy, because that isn't what he is, in my opinion. Jingling Joe Ingles, one spot below him at number 158 of the Utah Jazz. Only 30 minutes a night over his last 7 and only 9 points. He's still getting 4 assists. He's still getting a steal. But this is a legendarily good shooter who is shooting piss poor. 26% from 3, 40% from the field, and 69%
giggity
from the free throw line. All of those numbers for Ingles should be bouncing back. He hasn't been anywhere near his best this season, but this is a guy that was like a 44% three-point shooter for 2 consecutive seasons. I fail to believe that he's going to stick at these lowly levels, and especially not at this 26% from 3 that he's currently shooting at. He should also see a little bit of an increase in his playmaking role with Ricky Rubio dealing with a hamstring issue. He's still shooting 37% from the 3-point line over the season, Ingles. It's just been somewhat of a bump, and we could legitimately see him now until the finish of the season shoot 45% from 3 to get those numbers back up. So I do think he is a buy low. Aaron Gordon at number 146. It's very CJ McCollum-like to me. I think this is worse than what Gordon can be. I also don't think he's as good as what a few people might think he is. People view him as a top 30, top 40 guy, or at least did in the preseason. I don't. I think he's a top 100 player. Maybe he can get to top 80, because his shooting just isn't going to come around. And it's been fairly dreadful this season. 68% from the line, only 44% from the field. He's still shooting 36% from 3, but that has dropped off over the last month down to 31%, more in line with his regular career numbers. And I guess where I give him the benefit of the doubt is he's shooting 41% on 2s, and that's not being the guy that he is. He's a 52% 2-point shooter, so there is elements for him to be able to improve that. He's never going to get big steals and blocks, we know that. He's improved his assist numbers, his rebounds are okay without being great, but there is room for him to get better than what he currently is, and I'd be looking to value him at around an 80 to 100 type of a player, not a 40 to 50 type of guy, but also not a guy who just sneaks into the top 150. Luka Doncic, I think, is a little bit undervalued at the moment, the 96th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, 22-7-4.5. It's because of the shooting, 70% from the line, 43% from the field. Those numbers are what's dragging it down. Also, he's getting under 1 steal per game, and with Dennis Smith back, the assists have reduced down a little bit from Doncic. I think he can push back into that top 50 discussion where he isn't at the moment, and it shouldn't be too hard for him to get back to there. This was an 80% free throw shooter in Europe. He's only at 74% this season, and as I said, 69.6 over the last 8 games. So a significant room for Doncic to improve his free throw shooting, and I think you should be considering that as pretty likely to happen. General Saunders, Jimmy Butler, is the 83rd ranked player. Another guy I think is a bit undervalued. 16-4-4 with almost 1 point, or almost 2 steals, 1.8 steals, but shooting 39% from the field. Had an interesting question come from my mate Trent Copeland, who was talking about him in a dynasty format, and what's Jim's value? And I worry about him in Dynasty, just the age of him. He's going to be turning 30 next season, the way his game is. He's not a high... And when guys hit 30, 31, if they're not high-profile, you know, long-time stud-type guys, the drop-off tends to come. We saw that with Paul Millsap, a pretty significant drop-off when he hit the age of 30. And I do worry that, plus all the injury concerns that he's had, plus the general shitness of his character in locker rooms has been a problem as well. But for this season, the 39% will increase, and that'll bump him back up to that top 30, top 35 type discussion. He's averaging just 16 points per game. The 23% usage is not that far off what he was like in Minnesota. He didn't have a sky-high 30% usage, but it's the shooting that's way off at the moment. The assists, they will probably stay down just because of the way the Sixers' offense runs, but he will be better than what he currently is. I feel pretty confident about that. Some overvalued players, some sell-high guys. I love Derek White, but he's not the 26th best player. He's shooting 66% from the field. That won't be able to continue. So if you can get any sort of top 40 value back for Derek White, it might be a stretch, but he will not shoot this well. I like everything else he does. The minutes feel solid. He can steal and block, no worries. Just that shooting will not be able to maintain. And D'Angelo Russell, we already saw that drop off last game. He's 27th over the last 2 weeks, averaging 21 and 6.5 assists on 46% shooting. That's the big red flag there. Will that shooting be able to continue? Also, will the 31 minutes continue? I think he can be a top 50 guy. I don't know if he can be a top 30 guy. Larry Nance Jr., everyone knows this one, so selling high might be tough. Tristan Thompson returning has seen his minutes drop, but he's still the 36th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 9.5 and 8.5 with 2.3 steals, shooting 49%. But when Kevin Love returns, which might be 3 or 4 weeks away, does Nance go from 27 minutes a night to 20 minutes a night? That could happen even before that situation occurs. So I think he's in real chance of dropping outside the top 100. Noel Vonleh's been a surprise packet this season, no doubt. 39th over the last 2 weeks, averaging 11.5 and 12.5 with a triple one on 42% shooting. The block rate, which is in well above career numbers, has maintained relatively consistent this season. We've seen his field goal percentage drop a little bit. But that free throw percentage is nonsense because he was 62% last season. Over the last six games, 86%. Now, he's taken a big improvement, but that is a ludicrous improvement. That will likely come down. He's ranked 100th on the season. I think that's relatively fine to expect in that 90 to 100 type range. Top 40? Probably not for Noah Vonleh. Number 44 is Malcolm Brogdon. I like Brogdon. He's exceeded my expectations pretty comfortably this season, but I also don't think he can maintain shooting 55% from the field, which includes 64% from two-point range. I don't think he can stick at that level. The minutes are relatively secure outside of blowouts for the Bucks, but that efficiency number is probably going to be tough for him to stick at. While Julius Randle, a top 50 guy, the 47th ranked player, 36 minutes a night. Nick Mirotic's return seems imminent, and this is going to impact Randle. The Mirotic-Davis frontcourt pairing is significantly better than the Randle-Davis frontcourt pairing, and we saw at the beginning of the season, Randle was playing 25 minutes a night, 26 minutes a night, not 36. So sell high now. Your window is closing really quickly, and I think Randle goes back to being a top 80, top 90 sort of a guy, not a top 50 player. I like Jeremy Grant. He's not the 64th best player, though, averaging 13 and 5.5 on 53% shooting. That number will drop. He's getting 1.6 steals, which is quite elevated as well. He's fine in that 90-ish type of range, but he's not this guy at number 64. Well, Josh the Hitman Hart, people will be falling all over themselves after that last performance, but when LeBron comes back and then later when Rondo comes back, he's just not going to be able to play 35 minutes a night. He is a strong rebounding guard. He can get steals, but it's all about that opportunity, which just won't exist when LeBron is back. And the last guy I want to talk about is an injured player, Eric Gordon. But if you look at rankings and go, oh shit, Eric Gordon's the 78th ranked guy, I better grab him and stash him. Now, when Chris Paul is out, Gordon can put up those numbers. But when Paul comes back, he's not that guy. So if you add him, or if you've got him, maybe you can get a week or so worth of value, 2 weeks worth of value in that top 100 range. When Chris Paul's back, he falls out of the top 120. We've seen this time and time again. So yeah, in this situation, if you grab him and stash him, and then when he comes back, that is massive sell high stuff for Eric Gordon. So that does it for looking at some over and undervalued players in fantasy basketball. fantasy check-in now on the Dallas Mavericks, answering a question from Twitter users here. So I've got a question from Daniel Gatt. There's also another one from Kirk Rancharan, who Daniel says, trade for Dennis Smith Jr., expecting a trade with increased role slash usage. And Kirk says, should Dennis Smith Jr. be dropped? So it's a good discussion here on Dennis Smith Jr. Now, in terms of Daniel's question, should we trade for a player hoping that they get a trade? In general, 98% of the time, that never works. So no, you shouldn't be trading for someone because some bullshit site reported, and I'm not saying it's a bullshit site, but yeah, I think it was Mark Stein who actually reported the Dennis Smith stuff. When you hear about a trade potential rumor like that, in all honesty, it just never happens. Nearly every trade that's come through, it's coming through out of nowhere. Now, we knew Justin Holiday was going to be traded because of the situation in Chicago. Expiring contract, tanking team, that's fine. We had no idea where he was going with Trevor Ariza. Expiring contract, tanking team. We knew those trades were going to go down. But any other trade that goes down, it comes out of nowhere. We never hear about it. The details come through without us knowing about it. And yeah, Dennis Smith, maybe they took a phone call on him. But this is a guy they drafted at pick number 9 who I thought should have gone higher than that. I'm still higher on him than most people. And maybe that's, you know, clouding my view, but I don't think you should be trading for a guy like Smith because it was reported that maybe they're looking to deal him and therefore he's going to go to a situation and get more usage. He might, but like 95 to 99% of the time, this just doesn't work out and it doesn't happen that way. And that's not something I'd be looking at. Now, Smith is the 126th ranked player for this season. His shooting has improved 44% from the field. So why is he so poor? Well, it's under 69% from the free throw line. Only 4 assists per game with Doncic there. Only playing 28 minutes a game this season. And some of that is to do with some injuries that he has sustained. And that's limiting his numbers. I still think that he is a 12-team league guy and should be rostered as such. But he's, I thought he could be a top 50 guy pretty comfortably in the next, either this season or next season. The Doncic factor has had an impact. But it's going to require that efficiency, the free throws really jumping up, and his ability to get assists coming up. And I am really concerned that that's not going to be the case for Smith. So in a 10-team league, I think you can move on from Smith. In a 12-team, I probably would hold in most cases, but it's not going to be for everybody, depending on how strong your team is and who's on the waiver wire. But I also wouldn't be trading for him just on the off chance that he gets move to another team, because if I'm the Mavericks, I'm not trading him really for anything. Why would I trade a high potential, high upside second year guy who's like 20 years of age and only 2 years removed from ACL surgery? So it's a good question, and it is something that allows me to address that idea of trading for someone in the hopes that they get traded somewhere. It just is unlikely to be a scenario that works in your favor. Fantasy check-in now on the Denver Nuggets. Swag Champ says, not his real name, I'm sure. He says, what's the status on Michael Porter Jr. and Isaiah Thomas for the Nuggets? Well, we haven't heard anything about Isaiah Thomas for ages. We had that Woj report a few months ago saying December was the likely return. That has come and gone without any updates. I'd be pretty stunned if Thomas played any sort of significant role this season. That hip injury is no joke. I think he'll play this season, but will he come back and have a significant role? No, I do highly doubt that. We're hearing no updates. I think All-Star break is probably should be where we should be resetting our expectations for Isaiah Thomas. As for Porter, he's doing on-court workouts. He looks relatively impressive there, but I do not see him playing for the Nuggets this season at all. I don't see him playing regular minutes. I see him coming in, playing a few little cameo spots potentially, but not moving into the rotation for a start off. Where's he fitting into the rotation? Is he taking the impressive minutes from Juancho Hernangómez, Malik Beasley, Monty Morris, Millsap, Plumlee, Jokic? Of course not. When Barton returns, Gaz Harris, Jamal Murray, like whose minutes is he taking as a rookie who's played about 2 games of basketball in 2 years coming off a back injury? Like, he's just not going to play these minutes. So I do think that he will play this season. Maybe he plays, if I set the over-under of minutes that Michael Porter Jr. plays this season, it would be 50. And as for Isaiah Thomas, we just haven't heard anything. We've got no reports of him coming back or him working out, and he's already stated that he will be taking it as slow as possible. Another quick question on the Nuggets. Captain Sprinkle says, what's the dynasty upside for Malik Beasley? Well, Malik Beasley has been really impressive. You know, finding that upside on this Denver Nuggets team is pretty tough to do. But over the last 2 weeks, he's been a top 100 player, averaging 15 points with 2.7 triples. The problem is so much of his value comes just from scoring and threes, no real defensive numbers, doesn't get to the line a huge amount, no assists, low rebounds. It's all really down to scoring, and that does limit a player's overall upside. So I do think that he could be a real candidate to be traded at some point as the Nuggets try and consolidate their team down. What could he be? I think he could be a CJ McCollum type of player, which, you know, a few years ago would have peaked as a top 30 guy. Now we're probably looking as a top 60, top 70 guy if he found his way into 34 minutes. I'm not sure he's quite good enough to get to 34 minutes. That's the concern that I have with him. I think best case scenario for Malik is probably top 100 in a 32-minute role. Maybe it goes, or maybe top 100 is a bit unfair. Maybe top 80, top 80 in a 32-minute role would be my best case scenario for Malik Beasley. All right, fantasy check-in, guys, with the Detroit Pistons. Question, quick one from Richard Stewart. Does Reggie Bullock continue to hoist up three-pointers for the rest of the season? Yes, this is who he is. He just shoots threes. That is all that he does. He does absolutely nothing else, and he is not a standard league player to me. He will get you 2.5 threes, but you can find 2.5 threes from many, many different places. You can just stream those numbers in. He's below average in every other category apart from free throws, and even then he's only a marginal positive because he doesn't get to the line. His efficiency has dropped way off this season. He does nothing with rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks, but yes, he will continue to hoist up three-pointers. There is no doubt about that whatsoever. And the next Pistons question is from Charles W. Marsilio. Is Drummond a buy-low candidate? And I attack this question because I think it's illustrative to be able to look at what Andre Drummond's doing and talk about buy-lows and trades and value of players. Sure, maybe he is. He's the 38th ranked player over the season, and for the last week, he's the 59th ranked player. But why is he that low during that time? Well, he hasn't blocked shots during that time, but of course, he could be a buy low if you're punting free throws. He is back to being that punt free throw guy. 52% from the line on just over 5 attempts per game gives him a Z score of -3.5. Anything over -2 puts you pretty much into auto punt territory. When you're approaching 4, you're clearly at auto punt territory. So is he a buy low? Well, he's not actually doing much different at the moment than what he's been doing all season. So it's not like he's slumping. You'd be buying low, hoping that the free throws get fixed. And outside of maybe the first 40 games of last season, the second half of last season, he was bad in free throws. And he was still a massive negative free throw guy last season anyway, despite the narrative of how much he improved. He was still a punt free throw guy. And he's even worse again this year. And 52 is better than the 38 he shot 2 years ago, but it's still a punt free throw guy. So I don't see him as a buy low guy. I see him as doing exactly what he does, averaging 14 and 12 over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 16 and 14 and a half over the last month. And for the season, he's at 17 and 15. So there are marginal discrepancies. The blocks sort of go up and down. He's never getting assists with Blake Griffin there. That was an anomaly from last season. And it's the free throws that's keeping him down. And I don't really see that improving. So is he a buy low? No, I don't see much improvement. And of course, if you get him, your team and its construct changes dramatically, and that's always important to do. So getting him for a player who's ranked 60th might actually be a significant loss for your team if you get Drummond, even though he's ranked 38th, and that is something that you do need to pay significant attention to. That'll do it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. After you've listened to this, make sure you're checking out your local team's podcast by telling your smart speaker to play the podcast Locked On, insert name here, Celtics, Bucks, Raptors, Nuggets. You can check all those out across the network. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. Leave a 5-star rating and review over on Apple Podcasts. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.